Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. How are you taking us in? Thank you so much, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. We never take it for granted. We appreciate you allowing us to be part of your morning. Still to come this hour, Paul Spohr joins us to talk Major League Baseball. And then Kelly and I are going to go through a few things in the NFL, a couple things in the NFL. NFL receiving head-to-heads, most yards, player to player.
Yeah.
Where were you mumbling about?
So there's a couple I like there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say. Very quiet about it.
Sorry. Hey, sorry.
He likes it. He likes a couple of them. I do too. Actually, I like too many of them.
Yeah, that's where I kind of
that
felt.
Was my reaction.
I'm glad you had that reaction because I did too.
And then a few scoring specials. Team to score least regular season points, or we could really say fewest regular season points. Team to concede the most regular season points, and then the team to concede the fewest regular season points as well. Looking forward to that.
Just trying to respect the way that Advocate Skirmish worded their stuff.
Oh, we don't have to say that anymore.
FanDuel.
FanDuel. Wow, that feels good. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, not sure if you've covered this. Oh, this is good. This is a good tweet. Hey, Gil, not sure if you've covered this, but it looks like the NBA has banned its voters from betting on their awards. This further muddies that Wemby Defensive Player of the Year bet. Wonder how many voters had tickets on Rudy. How long before Major League Baseball and the NFL follow? This is such a great point, and it was exactly my reaction to it, which is, oh, I bet these, had Rudy tickets. And that's why they were so ridiculously illogical, sticking whenever Kelly's getting ready to pounce on me. That is why they were so ridiculously adamant, sticking with their Rudy Gobert votes, which we knew. We kept saying the whole time. I did anyway. But next year, everybody's going to forget about their reasoning and they're going to be like, oh, who cares if the Spurs stink? Wemby, he's 10 to 1. You know, it's like ridiculous. He's minus a billion to be Defensive Player of the Year. What a joke.
I don't really like. I'll move on from the last year thing. Yeah. I think it's interesting. It's a great thing to say, NBA. Well, I mean, like, we're not tracking NBA voters who are writers and where they're at all times of the day. Like, we are players.
The reaction to this should be, oh, you mean how were they allowed to bet on this in the first place if they were award voters? Shouldn't this have been stated in advance?
Sure.
You're just coming up with this now?
Yes.
Yeah. Master of puppets. Idea. You take me to sushi, I take you to the U.S. Open. Deal, if I can strike it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like, come on, it's your bucket list, man. I think that's a pretty easy deal.
I've already got the bucket list, but I'd like to go again. Jason H11. How to pronounce a Euro tennis player? Mumble, 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 Tova. Hey, Gilly, know any good sushi places? We're back. Oh, no, more of the sushi. Any more here? Want to save the rest? We'll save the rest. Michael Montesano joins us, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He won the $100,000 Circa Booby Prize back in 2020, the inaugural Circa Millions contest. Was that the inaugural? Yes, it was. 2020 Circa Millions. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Michael Montesano. How you doing, Mike?
You had to bring up Wemby, huh?
Yeah. Does that outrages you? I would imagine that outrages you as much as it does me, which is,
To no end.
We will look back on it. Maybe it will be DeMar Hamlin, because DeMar Hamlin was a special case. But I know you won on that. You actually had a Joe Flacco comeback player of the year. I think DeMar Hamlin is his own category. But I think the non-DeMar Hamlin I almost died on the field awards retrospective of what were the worst outcomes ever, it's going to be Wemby Defensive Player of the Year.
I should have lost Joe Flacco. I should have won Wemby.
Yes, so. I agree. okay, let's start with college football. Thursday night we have some games. There's only two FBS versus FBS games, I believe. Carolina against Minnesota. And the other one is Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina going up against Jacksonville State. You have a play on this.
Yeah. I like Coastal Carolina in this one. It was 3.5 about a week ago. It's down to 2.5. I did take it at 3.5. I would still take it at 2.5 as well. I know the key number is 3. I think this line's going to go down a little bit more. You know, Coastal's led by Ethan Vasco. He started 4 games last year at QB. He had a 62% completion percentage, 7-1 touchdown INT percentage. Tim Beck is their coach. In their first year, he did a really good job, 8-5, and that's with Grayson McCall, who's now at North Carolina State. He was out 6 games, so that caught my attention that even without their star quarterback, they were still able to win some games. So he is a difference maker on the coaching level. I'm not really a fan of Rich Rodriguez. He did a really nice job last year, with Jacksonville State, making the transition to FBS. They were 9-3 and 1, I believe, against the spread. But I like Coastal's talent in this one. They do have 66 new players, but per 247 rankings, their team talent is 92. And under Jacksonville State, their team talent's at 127. So I'm going to take the more talented team with the little bit better of the coach, even though Rodriguez has been around for a while. So I like Coastal plus the points.
Kelly, real quick, Coastal Carolina's team name?
I don't know. Hurricanes or a chicken or something? I don't know.
Chanticleer.
That's right. Yeah. 21 games, if I'm counting correctly, on Thursday involving an FBS opponent or FBS team.
FBS versus FBS, though, only 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Coastal Carolina, the first play from Michael Montesano. Let's go to Saturday. When last we saw Deshaun Foster, he was at Big Ten Media Day, and it didn't go very well. But UCLA now gets Hawaii here, and Hawaii 1-0, but did not come close to covering against Delaware State. This is a big 2-touchdown spread in favor of the Bruins. What do you like here?
So I like UCLA in this one. It's the old debate, is it better to play a game first or get film on your team first? I think it's better to have film on your team first. You wonder, though, even though they played a very poor FCS opponent, did they leave some things in the bag waiting for this game? It doesn't really matter to me. The talent level that UCLA has as opposed to Hawaii is much, much better. I like the fact that Foster, even though his press conference, he struggled a little bit. I do like the fact that he was their associate head coach last year. He was the running backs coach for a couple of years. They led the former Pac-12 in rushing the last 2 years. So he is going to want to run the ball. And I also think with new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, he's going to want to, keep his name out there for possible head coaching jobs. He's going to do, do well with UCLA. UCLA had a top-notch defense, and they were one of the nation's top in yards per play. They only allowed 4.6 yards per play. I have this UCLA last year. If the game were to be played, my ratings, if the game were to be played at Hawaii at the end of last year, UCLA would have been favored by 23.5 points. This year, with all the adjustments in the transfer portal, I had them favored by 19 points. It's, it's down to under 14, the key number 14. So I like UCLA minus the 13.5.
All right. Spin the wheel. Give me one more college football play before we go to the pros.
One more college football play. I'm going to take James Madison. I'm just basically looking at last year's power ratings. What ended last year, James Madison would have been favored by 23 points at the end of last year in this game. It's all the way down to 6. That's too much of an overcompensation for all their players leaving and going, for the most part, Indiana, because they do have a new head coach. I'm a big fan of head coach Bob Chesney. He is a 113-44 record in the lower divisions, FCS, Division II and Division III. I just think it's too many points to compensate for last year, and I like James Madison minus the 6. It's all the way down to 6 now. I like him minus 6.
Best wide receiver to ever come out of James Madison, Kelly. So this is terrible of me to ask Kelly impossible.
Oh, cool. I was waiting for Charlotte. I know their team name. They're the 49ers. That's where I thought you were going to go. Best wide receiver from James Madison.
Gary Clark is the answer, of course. Everybody knows that. You have a week one play in the NFL.
Yeah, I have a week one play. I'll probably use that in the contest as well, as I like the Vikings over the Giants. I just think the Giants are one of the 3 worst teams in the NFL. Their offensive line is dreadful, and I'm just not sold on Daniel Jones at all. And I think Minnesota, with their skill players, I know Hockenson's out, but I'm a big fan of the Vikings this year. I think they'll go into the Giants and they'll get the job done, win by at least one, a touchdown. And, you know, I think it's going to be a long season for the Giants. I don't think it's anything new from what most people are projecting as well. And they will look to get their quarterback of the future. It could be the Tankathon late in the year to try to get a top pick for a quarterback.
If you watch that Hard Knocks, it just drove home the point that we always knew. They are so hamstrung with this Daniel Jones contract. And as we talked about when we broke down last winless, and we landed on the Patriots here on the show, but then Chris Velik also buttressed this when he came on to talk about it. If the Giants lose this, last winless is definitely in play. You do have a season-long make playoff team. Who'd you land on?
Yeah, I took the Seahawks at plus 180 to make the playoffs. I really like their new head coach, Mike McDonald, and the defensive schemes they're going to bring in from Baltimore. I also like their offensive coordinator that came over from the University of Washington. He really knows the passing game. They did a great job at Washington with the passing game. And, you know, if you look at their non-division home games, they have Denver, Miami, Green Bay, Buffalo, the Giants, and Minnesota. So it's manageable at home against some of those teams. And they do get New England on the road, and they get Atlanta on the road, so winnable games as well. So, full disclosure, I when I was at BetBash, I did take Mike McDonald at 19-1 for Coach of the Year. I know he's down to 10-1 now. I don't think I'd play it at 10-1. But I just like everything that guy brings, and I think they could have an outside shot at winning the division as well.
Yeah, I am at 13-1 because I lollygagged, but 13-1 nonetheless. Same bet, Mike McDonald, Coach of the Year. Coastal Carolina, JMU, UCLA on the college side. Vikings week one against the Giants, and then the Seahawks to make the playoffs at plus 180 from Michael Montesano. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Circa Booby Prize winner 2020. We'll come back. A few NFL props, teams to score the least regular season points, and more.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Live from Bar Canada here at the D, back on a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly and I were discussing our June picks in the NFL betting guide, the original, the classic, that came out in June. But now we have a pro edition update. And this is what triggered that conversation. It is packed with new props from everybody, updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates for every team, new insights on players to watch, week one betting systems, and of course more best bets. Football season special, full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175. That's over 5 months of daily best bets, exclusive betting splits data, top rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, special edition guides. But the time is ticking with the NFL season about to start. You need to act now to get the most out of every game. Lock it in. Your VSiN Pro access through the football season for only $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $19 and see how VSiN Pro can make you a better. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. Shall I go here? I'll go off the whole screen here. Yeah, why don't I do that? Why don't I do that, Kelly? Why don't I just, we'll do it live. Oh, there we go. Daytime Degenerate. Hey, Kelly, Gil, isn't that Kanye's and Kim's kid's name? Oh, talk about Northwest Stadium. North is definitely one of the kids' names. I don't know, West. Oh, West is his last name. Northwest is his full name.
Right, yeah.
I got you now. Okay, yes, you're correct. They're naming stadiums after Kanye and Kim's kids.
I remember when that was like a story. I didn't realize they have. So they have four kids?
Yes, they do.
North, Saint, Chicago, and Psalm.
Psalm as in
like a
P as in Psalm.
Yes.
That's right. When you're spelling, you go P as in Psalm.
Yes.
Can we, Forrest Lehman, can we play, this is good. Can we play the New York-LA bias game, please? Let's pretend Shohei played in Atlanta and Marcell Ozuna played in LA. What would current MVP odds be? Witt and Judge, same deal. Not saying these guys don't deserve to be favored, but throwing in the ridiculous Lindor odds, absurd. Well, okay, first of all, let's start with the last thing. The fact that Francisco Lindor has been cut to 5-1 in the National League MVP race makes zero sense whatsoever. Zero. Like, he should not even, I hate to say it, New York people, he's not in the conversation. It's Shohei versus Ozuna. Ozuna flirting with the Triple Crown as well as Shohei doing so. Shohei already at 40-40, and quite frankly, 45-45 is a 45-45 is a favorite, home runs and stolen bases, maybe even 50-50. Sixth player all time to get 40-40. To answer your other questions, so Lindor out. To answer your other questions, Judge would still be the favorite in the American League. I think Ozuna and Ohtani would be way closer. Yes. I will make that comment. Because I think Judge, and I'm the biggest Bobby Witt Jr. fan there is, he's unbelievable. He's insane. But Aaron Judge is on another level. Like, this is Bonds-esque. So I think Aaron Judge, no matter where he is still the favorite. You're probably right, probably not a bajillion, minus a bajillion, but still a huge favorite. But I do agree with the National League premise, because we brought this up time and time again. Ozuna, even with off-field matters in the past, if he's on the Dodgers and Shohei's on the Braves, that's way closer than it is. Because he's like on the cusp of a triple crown.
I think both are. I think it's a great tweet. I think I don't think you're wrong about Aaron Judge at all, because I think he is having. But if Bobby Witt was on the Yankees doing this,
I mean, you're right.
We'd be nonstop hearing about him.
Right, but Judge is. You're right. It'd be shorter. I'm not saying it wouldn't be shorter.
Yeah, but they'd still be the favorites.
But Judge would still be the favorite. Yeah. Judge is minus 3,000, so maybe he'd be like minus 800. I'm just throwing out a number. But the Ozuna-Ohtani one is pretty interesting. It is pretty interesting. And I've brought it up many times, how the Triple Crown all of a sudden doesn't matter in our world. Josie714, the app I use for soccer and tennis. So we're talking about what the oldest app we use is sports-wise. He says, for soccer and tennis is Flash Score, MLB app for baseball, and Yahoo for everything else. Love Flash Score. I use Flash Score for tennis. Flash Score is great for tennis. I'm with you, Josie.
I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Score app I use.
Flash Score, yeah. The numbers guys. Oh, this is the guy who said my voice was being modulated. He said, Northwest Federal Credit Union wants to remind you to raise hail, but to always raise hail responsibly. That's a play on hail to the Skins from back in the day, their fight song, and just a play on the bank, I guess, as well.
Thank you for the explanation.
Clever. Everybody's very clever.
I needed that,
actually. Best listeners ever. So clever, you have to interpret them. David Newell, I thought everyone was live betting against the White Sox after five innings. You know what, David? You're right. We were talking about the double result. You'd be up 57 units. But really, in real life, most people, because double result isn't available in those places. But you're right. Most people are just waiting for the White Sox to get ahead, and that's just auto live betting against.
I did it like twice this season. Yeah, that's right.
Like what you I did it twice. I'm just that
pretty
smart.
Sharp guy over here. Yeah.
All right, let's do these real quick. These are we're gonna get to the wide receiver matchups coming up, but this is these are pretty interesting. Three different props in the NFL. Team to score the fewest regular season points. Do you want to start there?
Yeah.
All right. Start there. Teams to score the fewest regular season points. By the way, the use of the word least, poor English. Last year, it was a tie. Did you know this? It was a tie last year for the fewest regular season points. 236 points scored by both the Patriots and the Panthers.
Wow.
I did not remember that.
I mean,
that it was a tie.
The Patriots were not a great offense, but I would have snap answered Panthers.
I would have snap answered Panthers for sure. Here are the odds for this year. The Patriots are the short shot at 5-1. The Broncos are 6-1. I would not bet that. The Giants are also 6-1. The Raiders are 8-1. Remember the Devontae talk we had earlier. Commodores 8-1. Panthers 8-1. Steelers lead the double digits at 14-1.
I mean, like that one has to jump out to us for as many times as we've mentioned the Steelers and their offense this year.
I think the bet, now I have not, full disclosure, I have not bet this, nor probably will I. But if I were to bet this, you're exactly right, Kelly, that I would go long shot, Panthers 8-1 or Steelers 14-1.
Yep. Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. Like this feels like a bet I should be, like I should just add the Patriots into my portfolio.
Maybe they are the properly Patriots. Priced. Yeah.
I do think, though, and I know the guys were talking about this on Bear Bets podcast, Felica's pod, where the total season-long points scored over-unders are available out there. Like I think those are really interesting when it comes to Patriots and Steelers.
It's an interesting market. But you're right. I mean, you could auto-pick Patriots for a lot of these futility ones. Team to concede the most regular season points. Team to give up the most regular season points. By the way, these are FanDuel. Last year, are you curious about last year? Commanders gave up by far the most. Okay. 518 last year. I have news for you. I'm not sure their defense is any better this year. Cardinals then was 455. Eagles 428. Eagles gave up the third most points last year. This year, the Cardinals, who finished second again in this category behind the Commanders, Cardinals are the short shot at plus 450, and then there are the Commanders at 6-1. So the 1 and 2 just simply get reversed. Giants are going to be down all this. Giants and Broncos, hand in hand again at 8-1. And then the Panthers at 10-1. Notice that the Patriots are nowhere to be found on this because people expect their defense to be good, even without Matthew Judon.
Yeah, this one's tough because you do want the... You want a good offense, in theory. When you want a team with a good offense with a terrible defense.
You want a team with a good offense so the defense is on the field all the time, as much as possible. And both the Cardinals and Commanders might qualify.
Right, and the offense is pressing the other team to have to keep scoring, right?
Correct.
So you want shootouts. I think Cardinals are the absolute appropriate favorite here.
Yeah.
Trying to think, like the Packers, longer shot. I don't know. Like I'm glad you brought up the Eagles because there will be a team,
yes,
probably in the top five of this that we are not expecting.
I do not remember that the Panthers and Patriots were tied for the fewest regular season points scored, and I do not remember that the Eagles were the third worst in terms of giving up points.
If you told me that was the case of the Eagles, like the last half of the season, I would have believed you, yeah. Right? But like the entire season? Wow, yeah.
I don't know what I would bet here, quite frankly, because I think it's appropriately priced.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
We got one more.
And then team to concede the fewest regular season points. Teams to give up the fewest regular season points. Last year, the Ravens won this with 280 given up. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs were second with 294. Remember, that was the thing about the Chiefs. Sneaky good D. And the Niners were third just behind them at 298. So Ravens, Chiefs, Niners. In other words, this is kind of, a reflection of who's really going to be good in this. Chiefs are 6-1. The Ravens are 6-1. And the Browns are 6-1. They're the short shots. Closely followed by the Jets at 7-1. The Niners at 10-1. How about the Steelers at 14-1? What are we talking about with the Cowboys at 16-1?
I'm like, I don't even get the Bills being that high up. Like, what?
I think I would go Jets on instinct at 7-1. Jets.
I get why the Chiefs are 6-1. I would take them before Ravens, Browns, Jets just because of the divisions they play. 49ers at 10-1 is a little interesting to me. If you're down, you got to be lower on the NFC West, though, than I am.
Interesting props. I'm not sure, quite frankly, I'm not sure I would bet any of them, but those are sort of the instinctual thoughts on that. Paul Spohr, a little baseball break on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D, Barcanada, the Barrage. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, and this, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, is one of our favorites, of course, courtesy of Fan Graphs, where he works diligently. Sleeper in the Bus is the name of his podcast. It's Paul Spohr. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spohr, S-P-O-R-E-R, from Austin, Texas. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm doing well, Gil. How are you?
Doing very well. We read this tweet from a gentleman named Forrest Lehman, if that is his real name, last segment, and we reacted to this. I think it's a great question. I'd like to get your thoughts. Can we play the New York-LA bias game, please? He asks, let's pretend Shohei played in Atlanta and Marcell Ozuna played in L.A. What would current MVP odds be? Witt and Judge, same deal. Not saying these guys don't deserve to be favored, but throwing in the ridiculous Lindor odds as well. He wanted to add that to the mix. I will tell you real quickly that I was just like, I don't get Lindor's odds being cut like to 5-1. Like, I just don't get that.
What were they at? Excuse me on that with Lindor.
Lindor's MVP odds are all the way down to 5-1. So he's actually shorter than, so Shohei's the favorite. Big favorite.
Right.
Then it's
right.
Lindor at 5-1, and then everybody else, including Ozuna.
Right.
So let's address the main question of if Shohei and Ozuna were flipped in cities and Judge and Witt, how do you think those odds would shift?
Not different at all.
Yeah. So here's what I said.
Marginally
in the American League. I thought pretty dramatically in the National League.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you why. Because Ozuna is on the cusp of a triple crown also.
That is true and fair, but then what do you do with the 40 SBs? The 20 runs?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I mean, right? Listen, I think Ohtani would still be the favorite, but I think when I say dramatically, like if we flash up the odds, like Shohei is still, what is he, minus 1,100? What is he?
I got 14 on minus 1,400. Right,
yeah. So like, I mean, I think he'd still be the favorite, but I think it would be like in the ballpark of humanity. Right. Like, I think he'd be like, oh, he's a minus 300 favorite or whatever it is. That's what I mean by dramatically, I guess. Let me qualify.
I think it'd be
that.
Close, but I think it'd still be a pretty dramatic split for Ohtani. Now, it is really hard to kind of do this mental exercise because we are so ingrained with these guys as we know them. But the 40-40 cachet is up there with like the Triple Crown, and Triple Crown won Miggy that award, and you know there were debates on whether or not Trout deserved it. Obviously, I'm a Tigers diehard, but I thought Trout was a very compelling MVP candidate for both of Miggy's MVPs. So I think the 40-40 would still carry the day, and maybe it'd be more of Ohtani -1,000, and then Marcelo Ozuna instead of +3,000 right now, maybe +800. I still think it'd be a decent split, but you're sharper on this than I am. So I'll lean your way, but that's my feeling on it. And then the AL wouldn't change a thing. Just so much better. It's not even funny.
See, I said that too. And then Kelly, I think here's where I gave a little bit. Kelly then pointed out, what were your words?
Just Bobby Witt as a Yankee. Like, I think they'd be going nuts all, like, I mean, July when he was batting, what, like 500 through 20 days? Like,
I do concede. Think about Derek Jeter, right? I know he won championships. But, like, think about how as a just offensive player, he was overrated by the people who love the Yankees, right? Imagine Bobby Witt Jr. as a Yankee. There's got to be some give in that market. I would concede a little.
If I can undercut my own point, I'll point to the Lindor odds probably as a decent test case of what could be done, right? Because he's a New York shortstop.
That's right.
Who, you know, is at +550 right now with in New York. Okay, you know, I'll concede as well. And again, with these odds, with these markets that are being made, they're trying to predict things. It's not saying like that it should be. I don't think that it would be judge over Witt if they were switched in cities there, but the market would want to be there to show that it would be a lot closer. It's crazy what Judge is doing to dwarf the Witt and
He's
Soto
amazing.
Season.
It is incredible. Yes.
Those are both brilliant seasons that we should be doing backflips over. And we are giving a lot of credit to and a lot of excitement about, but they pale in comparison to what Judge is doing. It's so crazy. Now the shortstop defense also helps Witt a lot in terms of like your WAR and all that. But just the sheer greatness of Judge right now is unmatched.
I agree.
In the American League.
Been saying it all year. Like, I'd love to sit here and tell you Bobby Witt Jr., who is insane, ought to be an MVP ticket bet for you, but it just isn't with Judge.
And I guarantee voters, when they're ranking, are going to do the old Witt will get his down the road. Even though that's faulty logic, you really shouldn't do that. If the guy's the MVP that year, give it to him.
Wow.
But in terms of like tiebreaker, if it ends up being just like razor close statistically at the end of the year, I still think people are going to lean Judge because we know with his health, how many more chances he's going to get at MVPs. Whereas Witt is like, I think he turned 14 the other day or something. I don't know.
I brought this up with Borchard yesterday. I'll bring it up with you. Okay. So the Yankees get into the playoffs and then all of a sudden the team that they're playing, let's say they skip the best of three. Let's say they're best of five. They start in the division series. All of a sudden, their opponent's going to be like, you know, we don't have to pitch to Judge. Like, isn't that just going
to
be?
To him ever.
Yes. So, like, this is all kind of miragey a little bit to me on the Yankees right now.
I guess the tough part, though, is, you know, you can get punished for that pretty quickly.
You could.
Soto's probably already on base at least half the time, damn near. So then you're going to throw Judge on base, too. You got two on. With Stanton, Chisholm, and Wells coming, and I know that's not murderer's row there, but you don't really want to mess with that. They could really punish teams for doing that. At the same time, if I'm the manager of that other team,
I'll take my chances.
Day, baby, get on over there. Let them beat me. If they do, I tip my cap because I'm not letting Judge eat me alive in a playoff series. So I get it. I'm just saying that it could really work in the Yankees' benefit to put two of the first three batters on 60% of the time for a series.
Yeah, it's obviously situation dependent, but yeah, if all things being equal, take your base, buddy. Right. Who's your vote? If you're voting for NL Rookie of the Year, are you Skeens or are you Merrill?
I'm going Merrill. The volume plays for me big time in Rookie of the Year vote. And that's not really Skeens' fault. So it's nothing against Skeens whatsoever. But Merrill was there from day one, all the way back in Korea, putting up work, not to mention position changing from shortstop to center field. See how it's done, Derek? See how you go to a different position when you're inferior? Anyway, it's not even that Jackson Merrill couldn't handle short, it's that they had established guys there. But, you know, him going out to center field, stabilizing their outfield, being their catalyst, right? They've got star-studded names all over the joint. You know, Fernando Tatis, their shortstop coming in, or excuse me, no, he was in the outfield too. Kim was the shortstop coming in. But Tatis isn't even there. Merrill's basically replacing him. So I love what Skeens has done. He's been a monster, but I got to go Merrill right now.
Another three RBI for Merrill last night. Another three RBI. This is unbelievable. Just relentless down the stretch here.
And he's become the betting favorite, right?
He has become the betting favorite up to minus 175-ish after last night.
Yeah. Like, well, you do a walk-off every other day. I mean,
it's just that week where he was like hitting a dramatic eighth or ninth inning home run every night. It's like, this guy's incredible on this.
Absolutely absurd.
I was going to ask you something now it just escaped my mind. DFS, if you could, for the day. DFS, sir.
All right. Well, it's an interesting board today with the pitchers. We got lots to go on either way. You can get your aces going. You get Logan Gilbert against the Rays. I mean, we saw what Bryce Miller did last night. Could be 5,000 Ks over there. You got Flaherty against Baltimore. That could be an interesting zig where you're still getting an ace, but you're going up against a tough team to try to get somebody that people aren't necessarily using. I like Gilbert Cease as my two favorites on the day. And then as far as picking on clubs, we got a game in Coors, Rodri Munoz against Cal Quantrill. So there could be runs there. The problem is the Rockies and the Marlins don't bring a bunch of offensive players. So maybe it will be a bit of a pitcher's duel, but Patrick Corbin's going against those Yankees. Soto, I don't care that it's lefty-lefty, Judge all day. Corbin needs to get the four fingers going for Soto and Judge. He should not throw a single pitch to either of them, or it could be really, really problematic there in Washington for Corbin. Cole Irvin against the Dodgers. Johnny Cueto's super, super interesting to me. Always been one of my favorite pitchers, but this young Tigers upstart, and again, I'm wearing the hat. I'm a huge Tigers fan. They've been playing a lot better of late, about 6 runs per game over the last 8 games since they brought up, they recalled Torque, brought up Trey Swinney and Jace Young. That young offense is playing well. So don't just run against the Tigers anymore thinking that you're automatically going to get over on them with pitchers. So I'd be careful with Johnny Cueto if you're thinking that that could be a cute zig there.
All right, last question. I've asked you this before, but let's get the August 27th edition answer to this. Team, either AL or NL, the proverbial, you don't want to face this team in a playoff series.
You know, for me right now, it's Kansas City in the American League. You talk about Bobby Witt. Like, he's certainly not the only one doing it. They're starting to stabilize that bullpen. Lucas Ursek has been an amazing pickup that's been a bit under the radar. If and when they lock into the playoffs and you know, we're doing our stories on everybody, Ursek's going to be somebody who can be in center focus there to really stabilize their ninth. In the National League, obviously the Diamondbacks are like the hottest team going of late, but I'm going to go with that Padres team because I really, really love their depth of talent. And as they add guys back, Tatis, Darvish just back recently or coming back this week. So they're going to be very difficult to face, or they certainly could be the Padres.
Diamondbacks Royals World Series, 400-1. Let's get it done.
Love it.
Again, watch it be the Dodgers and Yankees. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Paul Spore, everybody. Add Spore, a receiver versus receiver matchups head-to-head next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget episode 3 of Circus Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million. Episode 3 tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on VSiN. This one takes us through, I think, Thanksgiving and Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. So this is where it gets big time for the closing contestants, if you will. This 5-part docuseries takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circus Survivor Contest. Episode 4 tomorrow night, episode 5 Thursday night. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. You can watch the remaining episodes this week at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on VSiN.com and YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to VSiN.com Survivor for details on how to watch episodes 1 and 2. Not really. fine detail that's right there in your face to watch episodes 1 and 2. Matt Brown and Mike Somich do a great job of sort of narrating it through as the weeks progress last year. I know Greg Jones makes his first appearance in the docuseries tonight. I believe it's his first.
Greg Jones.
He was one of the finalists who chopped it up at the end, but he's in there.
How do you work with me sometimes? Sorry.
Oh, dude. I love it. Mike Jones.
Gil doing a nice promo. I was doing
T-Pain earlier on the show. Nobody commented on T-Pain. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Hoops by Hoots. Talk about this earlier. Ointment. He said, if you follow that segment up by saying moist, I will have to take a week-long numbers game break.
You know what? People need to get over moist, okay? Like, that is, it's the number one word brought up whenever this question's posed.
The night was moist.
Don't be sheep. Don't be sheeple, okay? Come up with your own word.
Ointment is not good. You know what else bothers me? My mom used to use this one also. The word juice, but plural.
Juices?
Ooh, look, there's so many juices. It used to drive me crazy. It's like, oh, don't say that. Jamie Leva, when Shazam first came out, my buddy had it on the Sony Ericsson Walkman Edition cell phone. After a weekend of using this magical app, he then got a bill for over $200. It was not free back then. Oh, that's so funny.
But that's a good call.
I still Shazam everything. Yeah. The best feature of Shazam is you can go back then and listen to all the things you've Shazammed. So you have this built-in great playlist.
Wait. Hold on. Did I misread? Huh? Oh, never mind. Okay. I was misreading that tweet. I don't know why I thought he was talking about.
By the way, there was a tweet that.
No, because Zam was the name of it. I was thinking of the Shaq movie.
Oh, no. There was a tweet we can't read, which asked you to just like, I should just make up tennis names and have you read them. And he kind of got creative with the names. Chris Patrick, The Score, best app. We were talking about best sports app. Yeah. He says The Score is the best app. Paul Zhang. One thing I don't get. Oh, this is a good tweet because this comes up a lot. Good tweet, Paul. One thing I don't get is liking a bet at 19-1, but not at 10-1. If you feel it's a winning bet, 10-1 is still great, isn't it? This is a great tweet because I would agree with you that there is a too cool for school element to this. So let's use Steve Fezzik. Shall we use Steve Fezzik?
Sure.
Is it proper to bring up guests and then sort of use them as an example? Steve Fezzik, who what drives him crazy is if you are giving out a play that is not as good as it was. Mm-hmm. This can apply to a single game. This can apply to a futures bet. So for him, this drives him nuts. I'm with you, Paul, in the sense that I do think we go overboard with that. Right. So there was the year that Shohei ended up minus a bajillion to win MVP. I remember some people had it at 30-1. I got the last 4-1 in town. And I remember at the moment thinking, oh, people are going to think I'm so stupid for betting this. Still got 4-1. Right. So there is a I don't think we should be to your point, Paul. I don't think we should be as rigid about this as some tend to be. And I feel like some not Steve, because Steve really buys into it. But I feel like some parrot that thinking they're sounding smarter than they are.
Yeah, I guess the way I would say it is there. Everybody needs to understand odds and what they're telling you, right? So there is, I think everybody should have a cutoff point kind of in their mind of what they're willing to bet to. But obviously you're going to have guys that stick to their numbers way more like a Steve Fezzik, where I think there are some other people that would fall into the camp of, if it's a winning bet, it's a winning bet. I don't care. But it's, you know, that you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, and I'm somewhere in between, right? So let's take the monthly MLB bets.
Because that's your Shohei example, right? Like, yes. It's, I don't care if I missed out on the best. I still think this is a good bet now at this number.
That's one example of that. But like in the MLB monthly bets, the preflop monthly bets, I mean, I can remember saying, oh, I'm going to take the Astros at 17-1, just to use that month. The Dodgers are plus 550. I might have bet them, but there's no way I'm betting them at plus 550. Right. So there is, to your point, Kelly, I mean, if you're not doing it the way that Kelly is talking about, you're probably doing it wrong as a baseline. Like, you have to have that in your head. You have to know what you believe plus EV is.
Because keep in mind, even if we're using this example, if we're betting 10 to 1, like, that's not 10-1 is not -150. You're not expecting. That's right. You shouldn't be. You're not betting that thinking it is with a better than a 50% chance that you're going to win that bet.
Right. It's like the tennis place today, right? Like, so I have dogs, huge dogs in tennis. By the way, school aid loses the first set. Mensik wins the first set against Ogier Aliassime. So we're split in terms of where we are right now.
What's the last name again? Schoolcade.
Yeah. I thought you were going to try to jazz up the pronunciation. I was like, nope, it's cool kid. But just to give you an example, so some people say, oh, you bet the, we say this all the time with baseball. Let's just take a similar example in baseball. Oh, you bet the Tigers at +180 to beat the Yankees. Oh, you took Mensik at +264, whatever I got it at, to beat Ogier Aliassime. So that means you think they're going to win. I believe that the plus EV bet is to bet on them. Does that mean that I think they are likely to win?
Right.
No, not necessarily. And that drives people crazy who are new bettors. That makes their heads explode. What are you talking about? Then why are you betting on them? Well, I think if I made this bet 100 times or 1,000 times, it is plus expected value.
You think there's a better chance of it winning than the odds are implying?
By enough margin that it triggers a bet. Correct. Hope that explains it. Last, we have any more tweets, or was that the end?
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
I'm on the air, Dad. I'll call you later.
Come on, Thad Bidlin. It's only these 2 hours.
Yeah, Thad, come on.
All right, wide receiver matchups. These are interesting. Olave versus Metcalf. Kittle versus Kincaid, a couple tight ends. Harrison Jr., the rook, against Devontae. Waddle against Devontae Smith. Jefferson against Chase, and Laporta against Kelsey, another couple tight ends. In the case of Olave versus Metcalf, Olave is a bit of a favorite at -125. Last year, Olave, 87 catches for 1123, Metcalf, 66 for 1114. 87 versus 66, I like the fact that Olave gets more catches, and by the way, a lot more targets.
Right.
I would bet Olave here.
I think I would, too. He should be the favorite. I think he should be a bigger favorite than this.
I do, too. Kittle versus Kincaid. Kittle was 65 for 1020 last year. He had injuries, though, if I'm not mistaken. Kincaid, 73 for 673. I'd still go Kittle because I don't know if that field's going to be stretched enough for Josh Allen to be Kincaiding all day long.
I don't think he has many other options. I'd actually go Kincaid here. I don't know that I'd bet this one.
Kittle's yak is too good for me to not bet Kittle here.
I wouldn't bet this one.
All right, Harrison Jr., of course, we don't have stats on him last year or in the NFL. And then there's Devontae, who he's facing here. Devontae, 103 for 1144. I would not touch this because I have no idea what we're going to get from Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Maybe he just blows up.
Yeah, and I don't, like, I think, isn't Devontae Adams, if I told you he was going to be on the Raiders the whole year, I think it is really tough to project his numbers.
Yeah, and we talked about Devontae might be moving, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a different story. If he's got a real quarterback and a real team to play with, yeah, I think he puts up big numbers. But we saw what he did with the Raiders last year. It's like he can have big games, monster games, because he's that good.
But
you can't count on consistent quarterback play.
Jalen Waddle, by the way, that's -110 on each side for that one. So is Jalen Waddle versus Devonta Smith. Jalen Waddle last year, 72 for 1014. Remember, there's yardage we're looking at. Smith, 81 for 1066. I'd still go Waddle because the big play possibilities are bigger.
Yeah.
As good as Smith is.
I wouldn't touch this.
I wouldn't touch it either, though. So far, I like Olave
the most. I think both will have pretty big seasons, right? But they're still, both of them are number twos, clear number twos on each one of those offenses.
How about this one? Jefferson versus Chase.
Yeah, some people might argue that with Devontae.
68 for 1074 last year for Jefferson. Chase, 100 for 1216. Jefferson was hurt, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. I bet Chase.
Yeah, I would, too.
As good as Justin Jefferson is, it's just a quarterback situation.
Quarterback situation in Minnesota. I would absolutely bet Jamar Chase here.
The last one is my favorite one.
Laporta versus Kelsey. Last year, Laporta, 86 for 889. Kelsey, 93 for 984.
Laporta's a monster. Kansas City's added some wide receiver help a little bit. I would bet Laporta at -125. Kelsey's getting up there in age.
I wouldn't touch it. I like Olave and Chase the best of these. Olave over Metcalf, Chase over Jefferson.
Olave and Laporta.
Okay.
But I think Olave is the one I like the best.
So many ways to bet the National Football League. Can't wait. what is it, 9 days away from the Thursday night opener. We'll do the Megapod on Tuesday next week, by the way. First Megapod on Tuesday. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.